Amen. Not God was, not God will be, but God is. God is my all in all. Is he your all in all today? Come on, y'all can do that. God is the joy and the strength of my life.
He moves all pain, misery, and strife. He promised to keep me, never to leave me. He's never, ever come short of his word. I got to fast and pray, stay in the narrow way.
Got to keep my life clean.
Keep my life clean every day. I want to go with him when he comes back.
Come too far.
I've come too far.
Come too far. God is.
God is.
Oh, God is.
God is.
I'm a living witness. God is.
God is.
I don't know about you and you. But oh, he's mine, he's mine.
God is my all.
Give the Lord a hand, amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Well, we're grateful the Lord has blessed us to be in service, and we are honoring and worshiping him today, for he is good and his mercy is everlasting. Thank you all for coming out today. Thank those that are online for joining us today. Certainly we give God the glory and praise. Thank you, choir, for just blessing our hearts as we worship the Lord together. We've got a lot going on today. The youth, they're going to have a meeting right after service today, but then at 3 p.m. today, we'll be ordaining two of our very own, Mr. Levern Marshall and Mr. James Jones. They will be ordained to the office of deacon, so we're grateful for that. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. That'll be at 3 p.m. Of course, we, the council, will be meeting at 2:30, so we're asking all of those involved that you would be here by 2 o'clock so that we can proceed in our worship today. Amen? Well, we're in the book of Acts. This necktie is choking me, so come on. I'm going to take this off. I know I'm on camera. And my wife looking at me like, great day. Now I feel comfortable. Amen. I feel comfortable. Something bothering you. I'm 70 years old. I'm not going to put up with stuff bothering me. Amen. But we've got a verse of scripture that I believe is going to bless your heart today. When we talk about the church and our mission and what we should be doing and what we ought to be doing, a lot of times we can get caught up in works. And works, they come about either because people want to make a name for themselves or they feel some sense of obligation. I owe the Lord. Now, truly, all of us owe the Lord. We owe the Lord. And certainly nothing wrong with doing something and feel that you are talented and gifted. But if you are thinking that this will get you into heaven, I not only differ with you, I oppose you. Because that's not the spirit of Christ. Can I get a witness here? So I want to preference this as we get into the message. How do you know that you are in a church that is focused on legalism? What do I mean by legalism? Legalism is the belief that if you do something, then God will bless you and allow you to come into heaven based on what you did. That's legalism. That's legalism. But now, if you believe that you got where you are because of the grace of God, That's grace. Are y'all listening? Because there are a lot of people feel, well, what you gonna do? I gotta go to church today. Hold up. It's not I got to go to church. I want to go. Legalism tells me I got to do this, but grace tells me I want to do it. Are y'all still here? So let's go into the 15th chapter of Acts. Do not forget this particular portion of the Bible, because it really gives a declaration of you being set free from all of the legalistic requirements, so that now you can serve God freely. You can worship Him in spirit and in truth, and not according to a law. Let's pick up reading verse number 8. And God, this is Peter speaking, who knows the hearts, bear them witness, and gave them the Holy Spirit, even as He did unto us. He's speaking of the Gentiles primarily, of when He went into the house of Cornelius and He preached the gospel, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were saved. Verse 9, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you tempt God to put a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through, look at the word, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. God bless the reading of His word. You may be seated. I want to just share with you a few thoughts this morning on living above the law. Living above the law. I'm not going to talk about what you think I know I'm going to talk about. I saw when you took the turn in your mind. You thought I was heading down another street. Get on Politics Street. Come on now. I'm not going there. Look at somebody and say, you're not going there. And you ought not go there. But it is what it is. Are y'all in the building? Living above the law. Father, we thank You for Your glory. We pray that this will be a time well spent together, that we can truly learn that You have set us free. You've set us free to love You. You've set us free to praise You. You've set us free, Lord, so that now we can go to heaven without worrying about our own life, knowing that the Spirit of God is in us and He will lead us every step of the way. We pray You'd bless us with a good understanding, with a heart that we might love You more and serve You better. We thank You for all these wonderful things. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Acts chapter 15 is really a wonderful section of the Bible because of the fact that the early church had to encounter certain things and had to work their way through certain problems and issues that they would face. It helps us today to lay a foundation of what it means to proceed from being saved to now entering into service for the Lord. When you have the foundation that you are truly saved, you're not trying to go back and say, well, I wonder if I am. I wonder if I got it. I wonder if that's the right thing. You know without a shadow of doubt that God has embraced you, that God has received you to Himself, and it's done. Based on that, now you can live your life in such a way that you give testimony. This is what the Lord did for me. He can do the same thing for you. He raised me up. He blessed me. Now my life has a purpose. My life has meaning. You know, it does not guarantee that you won't have problems, that you won't have encounters and things that you'll have to deal with. Lord knows as you get older, you know, it's one thing after another. Amen. Just like the stuff in your house, your body breaks down. You know, you get up in the morning, your leg said, I don't want to work this morning. Am I talking to anybody? So you're going to have these things that you face in life. They are called struggles. But rather than them breaking you down, they make you strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You learn to call on God because you know that He is your way maker. You know that He is your burden bearer. You know that He's your friend that sticks closer than a brother. But the issue came up in the church when there were mainly Jews who were getting saved, and they had been accustomed to keeping the law. They would eat kosher food. They would obey certain ceremonial laws. They would obey social laws, all because it was a part of their Jewish culture. Their Jewish culture. Some of them, however, had attached that as a requirement of being saved. For instance, many said, if you are saved, you are going to obey all of these things that we've been doing all along. And so the apostles came along and said, this is a problem. You've got Gentiles who know nothing about these laws. God gave them to Israel as a symbol of identity for them as His people, but to also act as a schoolmaster. In other words, to keep them in line until they got to the point of grace. Y'all stay with me now. I got to go deep in order for me to come up and then tell you a few things. So there are a couple of things that was happening at this point. People were saying, now if I accept Jesus Christ, if I believe on Him with all of my heart, am I saved? And many of the Jews would say, yes, but you've got to go through this list of requirements, this list of do's, and this list of don'ts. You got people now in contemporary society believing, I got to have this list in front of me to know that I'm truly a Christian. What I want to argue today is that Jesus is enough. Amen. I'll explain why in just a little bit. But here's the point. Here's the main focal point for everything that we're going to be saying. If God's forgiveness were based on the keeping of the law, then the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross was in vain. Paul wrote an entire letter to the church of Galatia. We did that in our Bible study. He wrote to the Galatians that you now have the grace of God, and His grace is everything that you need. Now, that doesn't mean, come on now, I see some of y'all, I see the little wheels turning in your head. I see them turning in your head. You're saying, well, does this mean I can do whatever I want? I didn't tell you that. I did not tell you. Do not go out of this church saying I can do. But what we're saying is that Christ is enough. I'll explain that in a couple of things. But no, I'm going to tell you now because you might forget it later. The only reason why you would have a list of do's and don'ts is in the absence of the one that made the list. Y'all didn't hear that. In other words, you got the do's and don'ts if somebody is not there to really guide you and show you what to do. Yeah, you got a list now. You got a things that you're supposed to do. Do this, don't do that. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. All of this list that you have. But when the one who gave the list is right there, what do you need the list for? Y'all didn't get it. You didn't get it. Let me break it down to when you were growing up. When your parents went to the store. And in our community, going to the store was over in town. Because we lived in the country. They give us a list of things to do and a list of things not to do. Do not slide on my new wax floors. They tell us that. What do? get some socks, and we. As soon as we heard that pickup truck coming down the road, we heard him trying to fix up the floor. But my point is this. When they were present, didn't need a list. They're right there with us. You don't need a list of do's and don'ts, because if Christ is now in your heart, what do you need a list for? You would be denying his presence if you said, I'm going on this list, when he's right there to tell you. And now let's be for real. How many of y'all got ready to do something and all of a sudden the Lord whispered to you, don't do that? Come on, wave them real high. God kept you out of trouble. Now you ought to give him a praise, because he kept you out of trouble. He kept you from doing stuff that was going to get you into some problems in your life. That's called the Spirit of God. That's called the Spirit now dwelling and residing in you. It's not a list. It's on the heart. So let's look at some things today. We're going to start off with the sacrifice of Christ. How that he pleased God in every way. And I will tell you that Christ came to set us free from the law. Even the Jews. Even the Jews, we're going to find out today that they were set free because of the gift of Christ. Hold on just a few minutes. I don't want you to say, well, the law is bad. That's not what the Bible teaches. It's not what the Bible teaches. The law is good. It was perfect. Problem was not in the law. It was in us. It was in the Jews. It was in the people that said, we're going to do that. And then they turned right around and break every commandment that God had given them. So the first thing we got to do, we're going to understand that, why did God give the law? He established the law to tell people, I'm a holy God. It revealed his holy character, but it also showed, this is what I desire for you to be. I want you to be holy like me. If you do these things, you'll become holy. But now the problem was, we had this little sin stuff. You know, we got this little sin stuff going on. And as Reverend Givens called it, stinking thinking. When you want to do good, all of a sudden you get this odor. Oh, my goodness. And you turn aside into that which you know you should not ought to be doing. Again, I revert. I guess I'm getting older now. I kind of revert back to my, I remember we stole some stuff from Miss Olabelle's store down in Scottsburg. She's dead now. But it took Miss Olabelle a long time to turn around, right? So it kind of made it real easy for us to steal. As a matter of fact, you can grab a whole bunch of stuff. So we just grabbed some stuff off the shelf. But we were justified. We were hungry. So we got some stuff off the shelf, and I don't know how in the world it got back to Mama that we stole from Miss Olabelle's store. And we didn't pay her, but we sure enough paid to the piper. We were taught not to steal. It's a commandment. But what do? The sin nature stirs up, and next thing you do, no, we're stealing. Let me help some of the young people out that I haven't noticed in here. You know, going through school, you sit beside a smart person. You're in the middle of a test. You don't know the answer. But you got good eyes. So the next thing you do, you kind of just look over, and whatever answer they got, you write down. Is that right? No. It broke a rule. Number one, thou shalt not covet. You're looking over somebody else's paper. You want their paper to be your paper. Right? We could go on and on, but God was saying, I am a holy God. I want you to be a holy people like me. Peter's going to tell us later, no one was able to keep the law except one person. Amen. Second thing we find out about God in the law is that the law guides people into serving God. It's not lawlessness. But you have an orderly way of doing things, right? God said to Israel, if you're going to be my people, I'm going to give you this law. You follow that, and it will guide you into the ways of God. You'll have your ceremonies. You'll have all of the things done in a way that honors me. Were they perfect at it? Not a chance. But the very fact that they had it in their heart meant that they wanted to serve and honor God. Are y'all still with me so far? You go to sleep, I'm going to preach till you wake up. And you know I can do it too. Third thing, it identified them as God's people. When the nation saw that they were not like them, that they didn't have all these idols set up, they only worshiped God because he was the invisible God, but he revealed himself in miraculous ways. God is invisible, but not according to his works when he reveals it and he shows his power. Why? Because God is God. He wants you to trust him by faith. If you saw him, then it's not no longer a faith requirement. But if you don't see him, but you know he's real, you're serving by faith. So Israel was identified as God's people. They were led by God's Spirit as they began to try to offer the offerings and sacrifices. It was to identify them with the living God. Last thing, and then we're going to move on, is that it was a textbook for living. I still believe in thou shalt not steal. Amen? I don't want scammers. Matter of fact, one called me the other day. And I didn't have to pretend. I told them, I can't hear you. And they were yak, 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 yak. Yeah, I got hearing aids, but I wear them, well, at a convenient time. But it became a textbook for them to live by. And as long as they honored God, as long as they were saying, God, we're going to strive to do this. But if you notice something about Israel, they had to keep coming before God year after year, offering a sin offering and having that blood to be poured out at the altar. They'd go back home. They'd have to come right back again and say, God, we're sorry for our sin. Lay their hand on the sin offering, and they were forgiven temporarily until the day that Christ came. Until the day that Jesus was born of the seed of a woman. God was saying from the beginning of time, I'm going to settle this thing. Man can't get to me. Man cannot satisfy my requirements. So I'm going to take my word, wrap it up in flesh, send it down to the world, give them a body, and through his work, I'm going to finish the law. I'm going to take the law, and I'm going to nail it to the cross. And that's exactly what God did. He nailed the law to the cross, but along with nailing every law to the cross, he nailed every sin. He nailed every shortcoming. He nailed every lie. He nailed every time you fell short of God's glory. He nailed it to the cross. Now that Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, never had sinned, was on the cross, he not only took away your sin, God said, the law is done. It's completed. When Jesus cried out from the cross, it is finished, he wasn't saying my life had come to an end. He was saying to God, it's completed. It's done. It's done for you. It's done for me. It's done for all that are coming in the future, all that have been in the past. It is done. But there was people determined on putting the church in bondage. So here are the law issues. Will the Gentile believers be required to keep the law of Moses? That was the number one question on their mind. Are they going to have to do what we're doing? Second question, how will believers learn to live righteous before God? Those are good questions, aren't they? And I know some of you have pondered as you've read the Old Testament, do we have to do this? Well, you got to read it. Because then when you read it, you find out how they messed up, so that you won't mess up in the same way. Are y'all still here? It is good for our edification, our teaching, our instruction. But it helps you to learn more about what Christ did when he gave all for you. When he said, I gave all, he meant, what does all mean? All right, and that's all. Those two issues. Some of you today are struggling over those same two issues. You're saying to yourself, well, I think I can do it. It's like a little train trying to climb here. I think I can. God doesn't ask you for what you think. He wants to give you a free gift of his grace. Stay with me as we prepare to close this message. Here we are. The church is holding this council, meeting together at Jerusalem, said, we're going to solve this issue once and for all. They called together the apostles, leaders of the church, the evangelists, all of those that had been out sharing the word, and they came to this consensus that they were going to allow the grace of God to work in their lives. Here's how it reads. And God, who knows the hearts, bear witness and gave them the Holy Spirit even as he did unto us. God didn't do it based on works. He did it based on faith, believing that God was real and put no difference between us and them. Look at the word purifying their heart. How many of y'all have ever come to church, heard the word, and then as you left church, you felt clean? That's the work of the Holy Spirit purifying your heart. You couldn't do it. You came in with a guilty conscience, beating yourself up. Man, I shouldn't have done this last week. I shouldn't have cussed that person out. I shouldn't have lied. I shouldn't have done it. You got a whole bunch of stuff that you shouldn't have done, but you did it. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You telling yourself, well, I ain't going to do it no more. You know you lying. But when you claim by faith, look at it, by faith, the gift of God, the grace of God in your heart, now you're saying, through your power, I can move on from here. I'm so glad that I'm not still living in the mess that I used to be in. Aren't you glad about it? Aren't you glad that your yesterday does not determine your today right now, nor does it determine your future? You've got a future because of Christ and his great love that he has for you. And give the Lord a hand clap. So this is the Apostle Peter. He's telling them how that he has gone to the house of Cornelius, who was a centurion. He's telling them how he preached to them, and before he could require anything of them, they started receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, and it saved them, brought them out of darkness into the marvelous light. The people started rejoicing and praising God, and Peter said, God gave them the Holy Ghost the same way he did us. He gave them the Spirit. It's by faith that you are saved through faith and that not of yourself. He went on to say, now therefore, look at this. This is Peter, the apostle of God, a Jew who's saying, why do you want to put a yoke upon the necks of them that have been saved? Why do you want to lay that burden upon them? Why do you want them to come under that bondage that neither you nor your fathers was able to complete or to bear? The Jews had lived according to the law, but none of them, including David, he didn't keep the law because he broke part of it when he committed the act of adultery with Bathsheba. You remember that? Had her husband killed? Man after God's own heart. He failed. And you know what? You failed. Amen. I failed. Yes. But God did not fail. Amen. So Peter is saying, why do you want to lay that burden on somebody? Why would you want to go and say, I'm going to join the church, and because I joined the church, you know, I'm going to make all these promises? And before you make a promise, make sure that God is leading you. Amen. We don't put people in bondage. We believe that you're led by the Spirit. If you're following the Word, God will show you what to do, when to do, and how to do it. He'll give you the grace enough to carry out His will. Amen. Don't you love that? Yeah. Now, my subject is living above the law. Some of y'all are probably asking, well, we know some folk that try. I ain't going there. But what I can tell you is that as a believer, your life is above the law. Because God has said, you're no longer under the requirements of the law. As a matter of fact, you're on my level now. You're a child of God. Doesn't mean you can get away with stuff. Doesn't mean that you can say, well, you know, if I'm a child of God, I don't have to do this. Come on now, wait a minute. You're a follower of Christ, which means we live responsibly. So how do you do that? First of all, there are things that they said to the church, necessary things. Everybody say necessary. Just so you won't be lawless, he said, there are four necessary things that you need to have in mind and that you need to practice. One, abstain from idolatry. Why is that? All of these necessary things were based on fellowship, the word koinonia, which means we have fellowship. If you're going to have fellowship with God, you don't need to have fellowship with an idol. Right? That makes sense. It makes sense to tell the church, listen, don't bow down to these idols, because if you want to get God mad real quick, I started to say something, but I'm not going to say it because y'all can't take it. Some of y'all go to these stores. Yeah, I'm going to say it. Some of y'all go to these stores and you buy stuff. Hey, they look so cute. I'm going to go home and put it on my shelf, and you got an idol. Don't even know it's an idol. And brought up in your house. Y'all got quiet. That was on last Sunday, wasn't it? Be careful what you bring in your house. Be careful what you bring into your life. Just because something looks cute to somebody else doesn't mean it's right for you. Amen. You should worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. That's still in place. Amen? So he told them, abstain from idols. Why? Because you want to have that unbroken fellowship with God. Abstain from fornication. Why? Because you want to have unbroken fellowship with your neighbor. You don't want to have that fornicating attitude. All right? That's what the world does. Sleep with whoever you want. We ain't dogs. We've been created in the image of God. And this, I'm going to get on a soapbox for just 30 seconds. Amen. This generation is going crazy with sex. Crazy. Have some decency so that you can have fellowship with one another as you have fellowship with God. Does that make sense? So he said abstain from it. Abstain from. Third thing, abstain from things strangle, which has to do with the Jewish kosher laws. And you say, uh-oh, wait a minute, here we go. By the way, I'm a vegetarian, so I don't have to worry about that. But the point is, they recognized that the church would be made up of Jews and Gentiles. Is there anything wrong with the Jew keeping the law? Absolutely not. If that's their custom, then, and if they're saying, I like living by this, wonderful. But don't require it on other people as a means of salvation. That's what Paul is saying. That's what Peter is saying. Are y'all with me? But you don't practice it as if you're saying, I please God through what I do. The only way you could please God was through the blood of the Lamb. Are y'all still here? Now, here we go. Here we go. Got these four things that we're going to do. And if you're to have fellowship with the Jews, you want to make sure that you don't eat things strangled and blood, which Paul brings out in 1 Corinthians a little bit later on when he talked about the people that would go to these pagan shrines and they would come back and eat the food. He said, stay away from that, because you're going to be offensive to somebody. You're going to be offensive. And you want to have fellowship with one another. You want to be able to have church and not be able to offend other people that are around. Y'all still here? Now I'm getting to the end of my sermon. Here we go, above the law. Everybody say above the law. Our goal is to not live under the law, but above the law. How are we going to do that? Only through Christ. Here we go, in Galatians 3, it says, Christ has done what? Redeemed us from the curse of the law. That word redeemed means he purchased you. He bought you. He bought you. He didn't just say, I accept you. He bought you. You belong to him. Are y'all still with me? He redeemed you from the curse of the law. How did he do it? He became a curse. Verse later on says, cursed is anyone that's hung on a tree. Jesus hung on that tree called the cross. He bought you. And if he bought you, your loyalty is not to anything else except the one that bought you. Let me just break it down to you. I haven't bought one yet, but I'm getting ready to buy a refrigerator. Am I speaking something that I shouldn't be? I'm hoping that's I've been laying hands on a Miss Cabler every Sunday. Praise God, I pray this thing will work another week. But my point is, I don't expect my refrigerator to walk out of my house and go to my neighbor's house and become their refrigerator. It's mine. When Jesus bought you, you ought not to be going over here and say, well, I'm going to get up under the law. You are denying the very blood of Jesus that purchased you. Oh, I feel like preaching today. I said, I feel like preaching today. Why did he buy us? So that we might receive the blessing that God made to Abraham. He promised Abraham, through you, every nation on the earth is going to get blessed. Even if people did keep the law, they wouldn't get the blessing. Are y'all still here? But I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. That means I got the blessing. I got it in my life. I got it in control of me because God loved me enough to buy me. In order to buy something, you got to like it. My wife would look at it. But if she doesn't like it, guess what she's going to do? She's going to put it back on the shelf. Help me, Holy Ghost. Sometimes I follow her around. I said, no, the price ain't right. Jesus looked at you with his precious blood and said, I'm going to buy you. I like you. I'm going to bring you home with me. Are y'all still in the building? What I'm trying to tell you is do not pledge your allegiance to the law because you can't do it even if you try. Pledge your allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ because he's the one that purchased you. I got to finish preaching. Here's another verse. Galatians 4, verse 4. When the fullness of time was come. In other words, when God had everything set, God, can I wrap back and tell you like the old preacher, God, that's how the old preachers used to do it, God, help me somebody, sent forth his son, made of a woman. Man didn't have anything to do with this, but look at what it says, made under. Are you reading? Made under the law. Here's that word again. To redeem them that were under. Al, do you see what I see? As they sang that song, do you see what I see? To redeem them, Lewis, that were under the law. Now, here we go with the part above the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He did that because he didn't want you to be under the law, but under grace. Under the power of Jesus Christ. So what Jesus did when he was on that cross, he took the law. Every sin that had been broken against the law, nailed it to himself. Then, before he breathed his last breath, folded up the law. Father, it's finished. It is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. There'll be no more war. It is finished. Everything that has separated you from the living God, it is finished. But then he went down into the grave and was buried. In other words, us country folk, we don't like to leave mess on top of the ground, so what we do, we bury it underground. He was buried. So hath he removed our transgressions from us as far as the east is from the west. He's buried. 3 days later, the law didn't get up. The commandments didn't get up. They were not raised. But Reverend Ray said a few minutes ago, lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye eternal doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Ladies and gentlemen, the law is not seated at the right hand of God, but Jesus is seated at the right hand of God because he got up from the grave and he said, Father, I'll take my seat now. When the work was done, you sit down. When the work was done, you say, it's completed. When the work is done, you just wipe your hands and just you sit back and say, I'm going to wait until everything is under my foot. That's what Jesus did, and that's why he's in your heart right now. Amen. To let you know that you're above the law. Amen. Don't act like you're a slave. Act like you're a child of God. Amen. Don't act like you never knew about it. Amen. Now, granted, I'm not the smartest person that ever lived. I know that. Yes. Amen. I'm not the richest person that ever lived. You ain't got to tell me that. My bank account bears witness. Amen. I know that. Haven't been everywhere I need to go or want to go. I know that. But one thing I do know, I'm a child of God. And if you trust in Jesus, you're a child of God. Nobody can take that right from you. Nobody can say, well, you didn't do this and you didn't did that. I know stuff that I didn't do, but one thing I did do, I trusted him who brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Y'all like that? How many of y'all above the law? How many of y'all above the law? Anybody here above the law? Now, it doesn't mean that we're lawless. That's not what it's saying, but we keep Christ. And if you keep Christ, you satisfy God. You know what God says? I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. Are you satisfied? You satisfied? When you're satisfied, you get up from the table. Amen? That's what my daddy said. You satisfied? Get up. Let's all stand. Thank the Lord today. Thank the Lord. How many of you have been blessed? We are grateful again for his many blessings in our life, but always we want to give people an opportunity to accept the grace of God, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. So if you're here today, or if you're online, write to us and let us know whether or not you have accepted God as your Savior through the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves you so much, and he wants you to be his child. The doors of the church are open. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. With everyone today. With everyone.
Nobody like you, Lord.
Y'all free now? Nobody, you know a little bit more about the Lord. You feel more confident in your walk?
Like you,
amen. Amen. Amen.
Nobody like you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, oh, oh.
Hallelujah.
There's nobody like you, Lord.
God bless you.
Nobody like you, Lord. Oh, oh, oh.
and forget as you depart from the sanctuary that we leave our offering to the Lord. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We ask, oh God, as we receive this token on your behalf, this offering, we ask, oh God, your blessing upon it, that it may continue to be used for your kingdom. Men and women, boys and girls, may have the opportunity to hear the word of God proclaimed and be saved. Thank you, Lord, for the message today. You've taught us something. Holy Spirit, we do pray that you enable us, oh God, to feast on your word this week and to remember that we must live above the law because you have redeemed us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you. And thank you for your manservant as you use him to proclaim to us your word. We bless your name. We hallow your name. We magnify the name of Jesus. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord cause the light of his countenance to shine upon you and bless you with his peace this day and all of your tomorrows. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, let the church say amen.
Like you.